Good morning. I'm going to start in John chapter 20 this morning. Someone once said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. So, it is a marvelous day. In a week, the week starts out well and then we get tired the rest of the week. The week starts out on 15th with one of the great holidays of the year, National Ice Cream Day. And on that day, I promise you, I will not stop on the way home for a blizzard. I'll do the best I can at getting enough right here. Then we have VBS, and VBS is a busy, busy time. And it's not only busy, it can be exhausting. But I promise you this week that kids will hear the gospel. And I know that because they hear the gospel, some will respond. I don't ever remember a year here when we presented the gospel that some children did not respond. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. So if you want to hear the gospel, if you've never heard it before, show up on Thursday night because that's my night. Is that right? Whew, it's a good thing I got that right. Take John chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 19. Let's stand as I read the scripture. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, help us to realize today that we can overcome any doubt that we might have. Lord, I pray today that you will speak to each of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will move in us, that you will show us your greatness and how awesome you are. And today as we leave this place, I pray that we will be living our lives for your glory and for your glory alone. Let the Holy Spirit be on display in our lives every minute of every day. And we will give you glory and honor and praise because you alone are worthy. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Anybody in this room ever not doubted God? Anybody? Well, that's what I thought, because we all have doubts, don't we? We all have doubts. To doubt, the word doubt means to waver or fluctuate in an opinion. It means to hesitate. To be in uncertainty. To question. Anybody ever question God? Maybe I do too often. A fluctuation of mind respecting truth, arising from defective knowledge or evidence, uncertainty of mind. The question we sometimes ask is why? Why? We wonder why things happen the way they do. What did I do to cause this to happen? You ever think that? What did I do to cause this to happen? Let me tell you this, that in many of those cases, maybe most of them, you didn't do anything. Life happens. And it happens often in ways that we don't expect it or we don't want it to happen. Why? And we don't seem to get answers very quickly, and so we begin to doubt. Does God really care? Why isn't He answering my prayer? Where is God when I need Him? Does all this stuff really matter? Does all this Christian stuff really matter? Have you ever thought that? I'm just asking the questions because I think sometimes that's where I find myself. Listen, God does care. And He will answer. And He's here. The Greek words for doubt, wallet, carry the idea of uncertainty, lacking a firm conviction. I want you to know today that doubt is not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Doubt is merely a stone on the pathway to greater faith. John the Baptist had doubt. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 2. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." John had doubts. But John sought the answer. And he was given the answer. I really think that we can have doubt, but we can't stay there. And I believe that as we pursue the answer to some of those questions, that God shows up and that God does answer. Now, has God answered every question that I've ever had? No. I can't give you all the answers. The situation we looked at last week, thank you, Kyle. You ask, why did that four-day-old baby die? I don't know. I have no idea why that happens. I don't know why people get sick. But I do know that when we ask the question why, we are in good company. If you remember on the cross, what did Jesus say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Now, we know the easy answer, and the truth is that God turned his back on sin. We know that. But we also know for the first time since eternity past that there was the fellowship between the Son and the Father was broken. Have you abandoned me? Where have you gone? There are other people in the scripture that had phenomenal doubt. Who is the man that is called, who is the only person called in the Bible a man after God's own heart? It's King David, isn't it? Not only did David have doubt, I believe he was angry. Do we ever get angry at God? Psalm 13. Verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" How long? Is it ever going to end? Is this struggle or trial I'm going through, is it ever going to end? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left alone? Where are you when I need you? Will you forget me forever? And I have to confess today, I've been there before. I have to confess to you that sometimes I get angry with God because God's not doing it the way I think he should. Or certain things have happened in my life that have caused me to wonder, don't you really care about me anymore? Where are you when I really need you? Well, you've forgotten that promise that if I walk with you, everything will be okay. I can walk through the desert. My shoes won't wear out. I'll have clothing. I'll have everything I need. But I want you to know that David did not stay there. David did not stay in doubt. Look at verse 5. Because I have trusted in your steadfast love, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David's doubts were answered. David, in his doubt, sought God. And in that doubt, God shows up and David says, I've trusted in your steadfast love. And faith is that thing that helps us overcome doubt. In every situation, we are confronted with doubt, and faith helps us overcome that. Marvelous thing about this is in David's doubt, God was praised. Do you suppose that David shared those doubts with others who were around him? Do you suppose that others saw that doubt, that time in David's life when he wasn't absolutely sure? Sure they did. But do you also realize that when David turned his heart toward God and began to praise God, that others were affected? Absolutely they were. This is the same David, by the way, that wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And one of the things that I think is important in that psalm is the fact that there is a phenomenal relationship. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is what gets us through doubt. It's what gets us through the hard times. And we are going to have hard times. You and I have been through hard times. Some of us may be going through those kind of times now, and we will face those kind of times in the future. But what we need to know is because we have a personal relationship with God, just as the hymn writer said, he walks with me and talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. That relationship will get us through whatever it is we face. So the question is for us this morning, have we trusted him? Have we trusted him? With everything that we have, with everything that we are, is he really God in our lives? David Jeremiah in his book says, doubt asks questions. Unbelief refuses to hear answers. The former, doubt, is hard miles on a good journey. The latter, unbelief, is the dead end. A refusal to travel any further. John's going to play a video clip for us this morning. I want you to pay attention. I think it's a great clip about doubt and encouragement and perseverance. John, play the clip.
It's like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, it means your heart's not right.
You sure is preaching today.
Mm-hmm. What?
How's your attitude, Brock?
It's fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
Yeah. Oh. All right, everybody on the goal line. Get your partner. Let's go. All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There you go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Oracle this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written 2010 off as a loss, bro?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Come on.
It's a good start. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I to the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your
heart!
You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
It's gotta be 50! It's gotta be 50! Oh, how many more?
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
redneck.
Doubt is infectious. It affects those who are around us. And the question was, you know, the leader of the team said, we can't beat that team. They are too good for us. What was the lesson? You can. And one of the things I like best about that is the coach got down on his hands and knees and he guided Brock down the field. And he encouraged him every step of the way. And when Brock wanted to give up, the coach said, you can do this. You can do this. And when we begin to doubt, we need other people to come alongside us and say, you can do this. And to keep encouraging us. And with enough encouragement, you and I can overcome anything in our lives. We need someone to line up beside us. Maybe to get on their their hands and knees beside us. And do whatever it takes to help us push through that doubt. Would you see the rest of the team? As he was moving down the field, they began to stand. And you saw the disbelief on their faces. And he finished. And I like the end of it when the coach says, who's next? There is always someone around you who has doubts. There is always someone who needs encouragement. There's always someone who needs you to come alongside and to encourage them and strengthen them and get them through whatever it is. And I promise you, at the end of that 100-yard death crawl, Brock believed. Brock believed. And he found things in himself that he'd never experienced before. And that's what happens with us. We move toward the goal line. Our goal line is our faith in Christ, growing in faith. And as we move there, as we're encouraged to move there, we find strength that we never thought we had before so that we can take that strength and help others accomplish in their lives what God wants them to accomplish. That clip is from Facing the Giants, by the way. You know, it's like there's a story about an oyster and a whelk. Do you know what a whelk is? Whelk is a little sea, kind of, I don't know, they eat them. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a shelled sea creature, similar, I guess, to the oyster, but it is, it's a type of sea snail. It's a predator. It drills holes in the shells of clams and oysters and sucks the soft tissue out. And that's exactly what Satan is doing with us. He drills holes into our soul. And it begins to suck out our belief. His goal is to suck out our faith. We get this guy in John chapter 20. Thomas. I can relate to that name. Whenever we refer to Thomas, what's he referred to as? The doubting Thomas. Do you suppose that Thomas gets a bad rap? Just asking. Here's the thing. You know, on the day Jesus rose, the disciples were hanging out in a room, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up, and they see him, and they believe. I don't know where Thomas is. Thomas might have been hiding out somewhere else. But in verse 24... Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see, I will never believe. Are we like that sometimes? Unless we see, we will not believe. One of the things I know in my own life and in watching others that doubt develops in isolation. Some things happen to us, and instead of looking for help and looking for encouragement and looking for strength, just looking for someone to talk to, someone to help us get through, we pull back and we isolate ourselves. Hmm. when we're all alone and there's no one to encourage us, there's no one to challenge us. See, I think there are times in my own life within my doubt that I need someone to challenge me. What do you really believe? What is it that you really believe? Can you trust God? Does God keep his promises? And when somebody challenges us, it helps us to refocus and to see God as who he is and to see what God can do and to realize that God keeps every one of his promises. We can't let people who are going through really hard times face them alone. And what I would ask you to do is pray and ask God to show you someone who is going through a really hard time. And it's hard for them to reach out. And so when people won't reach out to us, you can reach out to them. You know, one of the most surface-asked questions that we will ever hear in our lives is, how are you? How you doing? Is that just a conversation starter? Or do we really care? When someone asks that, are we willing to stop and share with them what's going on in our lives? And if we dared stop and shared with them what was going on in our lives, would they listen? Or are they in too big a hurry to go somewhere else? Listen. Pay attention. Look at people's eyes. Watch their body language. They will tell you if there's a problem going on in their lives without ever saying a word. And when they're going through those times and when they begin to doubt, that's when they need us more than ever. Sometimes doubt demands evidence. Unless I see, Thomas said. Unless I see. Angela, what's your favorite verse? What's it say? You tell me every time I see, almost. Here it is. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. I have never seen the wind, have you? I've seen the results of the wind. I have never seen Jesus face to face, but I see the results of Jesus. It's an amazing thing. Whenever I see someone place their faith in Christ, that's the result of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life. Whenever we see someone back here in the baptismal pool, that is an evidence, that is fact, that Jesus has done something in their lives and they're giving testimony about it. We see the evidence of Jesus all around us. So how is it, having seen the evidence of God and seeing the evidence now, how is it then that we revert so easily to doubt? I believe it if I feel it. Let me tell you this. Our faith is based on fact, not emotion. I'm an emotional person. I am very emotional. You can tell often how I'm doing when I walk into a room. I show my emotions, carry my emotions on my sleeve. But my faith is not driven by emotion. My faith is driven by fact. The fact that God loves me and cares for me. The fact that God gave his life for me, shed his blood. The fact that God was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, and he keeps his promises to me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe all these things? I trust him. I trust him to keep his promises. I've experienced it before. Why won't I trust it now? Our faith can be based on feeling, or it can be based on fact. You know, it's an amazing thing that, have you heard some of the revisionist history that the Holocaust never happened? Have you heard people talking about the Holocaust never really happened? And one of the things is we're starting to lose all the Jews who were taken prisoner who have the evidence of the Holocaust tattooed on their arms. Do we believe that it happened? Absolutely. I didn't see it. I didn't experience it. But I believe it. I haven't seen God except in others. Have I experienced God? Absolutely. Do I believe Him? Let me ask you this. Do you believe Him today? Do you trust Him in spite of all the doubt, in spite of all the conflict, in spite of your anger? By the way, let me give you permission to be angry at God. If you need permission, I want to give that permission to you today. We do get angry with God. Our doubt sometimes flows into anger. It is not wrong to be angry with God. It is wrong to stay there. I remember there have been some times in my life, one time in particular, when I was really angry with God. And I went for a walk. And almost every step of that walk, I screamed at God. Literally screamed at God. But when I was finished with that walk, I wasn't angry anymore. Because God showed up. And God reminded me that He cared for me and that He loved me. In spite of how I was behaving, God loved me with an everlasting love. Thomas believed. He saw Jesus. But rather than being isolated, he spent some time with Him. When we begin to doubt, do we spend time with God? When we sense that anger boiling up inside us, do we spend time with God? Or do we run away and hide? Do we really believe His promises? Our doubt should seek us to look for answers, should cause us to seek for answers. We need to acknowledge our doubt. All of us have doubts at one time or another. You ever been somewhere where everybody's talking about how they've experienced God this week? All the marvelous things God's doing in their life this week. And yet inside you're thinking, I haven't experienced Him at all. I haven't seen Him do anything this week. And you're feeling guilty. And you begin to doubt. Don't put your doubts away. The further you push them down, the harder they will be to face. Face your doubt head on. And realize that when you're in that time of doubt, that you need to press on to see Jesus. You know, I have some books in my library that were written by people who had real doubts about God. Some of you will recognize those. Some of you won't. But find the book and read them. Find these books and read them. There was a man named Frank Morrison who was an attorney who set out to prove that the resurrection was wrong. He doubted whether the resurrection ever happened. As a matter of fact, he said the resurrection never happened. Frank Morrison wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone? See, in researching, instead of in seeking the right answer, he came to faith in Christ. Anybody ever heard of Josh McDowell? Josh McDowell set out to write a book that to disprove Christianity altogether. And in his journey to write that book and to prove that God did not exist, he was confronted by the Holy God and he was converted. And he wrote a book. This ought to be in everybody's library. He wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And chapter 7 of that book says this: Lord, lunatic, or liar. Jesus has to be one of those three. He is either Lord, or He's a lunatic, or He is a liar. Guess what conclusion Josh McDowell came to? He is Lord. He is Lord. One other book. Find this. It's a simple read. written by a man named Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, like Josh McDowell, he didn't believe in Christianity. He set out to disprove it by the book. It's called The Case for Christ. When you seek God, even in your doubt, God shows up. And when God shows up, your faith is strengthened. And I think that's part of the purpose of doubt. Romans 8:29 says that we are to be conformed to the image of our Lord. God sometimes takes that doubt and causes us to be conformed to His image. When we diligently and honestly seek Jesus, He leads us to Himself. The closer we draw to God, the more our doubt begins to dissipate. I want to read just one more passage of Scripture this morning. It's in Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We may never understand. Well, let me just say this. We will never understand all the ways of God. If I could understand God, I wouldn't need Him. If I could put God in a box and be able to understand everything He does and who He is, I would not need Him. But His ways are greater than our ways. And His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And remember this. The next time you begin to doubt, don't walk, but run to Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Read His Word. Admit what you don't know and ask Him to fill in the blank. And I think, again, whenever we diligently and honestly seek Him, Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, Frank Morrison. We're still going to have questions. For the rest of our life, we're still going to have questions. But we know the one who holds the answers. Mad Magazine. Alfred E. Newman. Anybody remember Alfred E. Newman? Redheaded, ugly guy on the cover of every Mad magazine. What was his motto? What? Me worry? I don't have to doubt because I know the King. I know the one who provides the answers. And even those answers that, even those questions that I find are unanswered, I still trust Him. I still trust Him. Do we? Do we really trust God? 1 Peter says, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And should you ever doubt that, on the wall behind me is a cross, and it is forever that Jesus proved once and forever that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He's there for us, that He walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us. Scripture says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And when we realize those things, we don't have to doubt anymore. We can overcome doubt. Pray with me.